From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Now that Democrats have won the House and the Senate, Republicans across the country are searching for some meaning in their losses and some message for future elections. First to a state where voters ushered in big change.
The state of New Hampshire has found itself awash in a powerful wave of blue this week. Democrats took over the state House and Senate for the first time since 1911, and they surprised politics watchers across the country by unseating both of their Republican congressmen and electing two Democrats to Congress for the first time since 1922. Andrew Klein is editorial page editor of the New Hampshire Union Leader in Manchester. That's for years been a strong conservative voice in the state. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And Mr. Klein, what is going on with New Hampshire Republicans this year?
Well, this was a throw-the-bums-out election, and if you had an R by your name, you were a bum. Republicans lost across the board, whether they were liberals or moderates or conservatives, and Democrats won across the board, whether they were liberals, moderates, or conservatives.
Well, if you look at one of these races, though, the six-term incumbent Republican in Congress, Charlie Bass, running against Paul Hodes. Charlie Bass won against Paul Hodes 2 years ago by 20 percentage points and went down 53-46 this year. That's a humongous shift.
It's a big shift. Paul Hodes is a humongously better candidate than he was last time around, and you have to give him a lot of credit. And people were not happy with Bass. I mean, when you take the throw the bums out, you know, very unhappy with the Iraq war mentality that was going on in New Hampshire, and you combine a general, I don't want to say dislike of Charlie Bass. He's a likable guy, but he's been there a long time, and you know, it was time for him to go.
Well, what would New Hampshire Republicans have to do 2 years from now to try to turn this wave back?
Well, that's the big question, and everybody's trying to figure that out right now. I think there are a couple of things. I think they need a coherent ideology that they can present to the voters. I mean, that goes beyond just income tax.
We should explain that there is no state income tax in New Hampshire, right?
There's no broad-based tax. There's no sales tax. There's no income tax. And I think Republicans have gotten really comfortable and sort of lazy in just being able to, for years and years, run on that. And that just doesn't work anymore when you have a Democrat like John Lynch.
This is the Democratic governor.
Democratic governor, very popular Democratic governor who pledges, you know, to veto a sales or income tax. And when that's the head of the Democratic ticket, it's really hard to paint them as tax raisers.
Are you hearing a lot of anger, recrimination among Republicans in New Hampshire?
Oh, yeah.
How bad is it?
Well, I think when you talk to a lot of Republican sort of activists and conservatives, they're saying the same thing in New Hampshire that they're saying nationally, and that is it's time for conservatives and Reaganites to take the party back, and it's time to take it away from the people who are really more partisan operatives who want to stay in power as opposed to want to implement an ideological agenda. And so I think conservatives are actually, you know, while they're depressed, they're actually fairly energized right now because they realize, hey, here's our opportunity. Maybe we'll be able to take this party back and make it into the small government, low tax party that it should have been all along.
Andrew Klein is editorial page editor of the New Hampshire Union Leader in Manchester. Mr. Klein, thanks very much.
Thanks.
Taking the party back, returning to core issues, those goals are also on the minds of many Christian conservative voters. Albert Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. He says many evangelicals are disenchanted with the GOP because the party has yet to prevail on matters such as gay marriage or abortion.
The obvious thing that you would point to as a cause of disenchantment would be that the Roe v. Wade decision was handed down in 1973. Conservative Christians have worked hard in the political process, electing Ronald Reagan to two terms, George H.W. Bush to a term, and now George W. Bush to two terms, and it is still the law of the land according to the U.S. Supreme Court. And so there is a disenchantment with the end and net result.
So Karl Rove is known for reaching out beyond the Beltway, occasionally making calls to people to find out what's on their mind. If he calls you and asks for your advice, what are you going to tell him?
That's a very interesting question, and I almost have to turn it just a little bit to say that I think Karl Rove really represents the Bush administration. I think there are a lot of Republicans who are out of office who would actually blame the White House for many of their travails. So when it comes to, nonetheless, the question straightforwardly, what would I suggest? I would suggest that the Republican Party had better build and maintain a consistent worldview presentation, a consistent political platform, and a consistent plan to which it will hold itself accountable that includes, it doesn't have to be merely these issues, but it must include those issues of central evangelical concern. And they better be real clear with us as to where that falls in the hierarchy of the party's ideas and commitments, because lip service just isn't going to do it anymore.
If Republicans can no longer, in your estimation, depend on evangelicals, does that mean that the conservatives may drift toward the Democratic Party, even if they have to hold their nose a bit?
Well, you know, the problem with that is that the Democratic Party has a very clearly articulated position on so many of these issues that is the opposite of evangelical conviction. I don't think, looking at it long term, there's any real risk that evangelicals are going to gravitate to the other party, to a party that, let's remember, during a presidential race is going to have to be very clear about these very issues. I don't see that happening. I think the bigger risk is that evangelicals will have invested too much hope in the political process and now will have too much disappointment.
The Republican Party dealt with quite a few scandals this year. Was that an issue? And was there a lesson in that and how to deal with those kinds of things when they do erupt?
Well, there was an issue there. Evangelical Christians should be the last people to be surprised by moral failure when we see it. We're the people who know what sin is, and we know that human beings are sinners, and there is this sin that lurks in every single human heart and comes out in some people in the most awful and embarrassing and tragic manner. That certainly happened, not only in the Foley scandal, but in several others related to persons who hold the Republican label. Moral credibility is an absolutely essential criterion. And yes, the party was wounded by the fact that some of the people who've been standard bearers for our issues turned out to represent anything but a personal commitment to those issues. And I think what was lost in recent weeks was this sense of conservative Christian voters that this was a party that they were proud to be a part of. And that sense of, I think, ambiguity, betrayal, and loss of confidence is something that will take some time for the party to recover from.
Dr. Mohler, thanks so much.
Good to talk with you.
Albert Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky.
Our coverage of Tuesday's election and its aftermath continues at npr.org, where you'll find full results and analysis.